This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
It is Monday, April 15th. That is tax day for most of the country, which I like to call Thank a Rich Person Day. You should thank, if you have a rich neighbor, rich relative, you should thank them today because they're paying most of the tax burden. The top 1%, as we've mentioned many, many times, pay 35% of the federal tax burden. The top 10% pay 68% of the federal tax burden. So I think today you should thank them for supporting the federal government. Joe Biden tells a lot of lies. God knows we chronicle most of them, but perhaps his most brazen lie is that the rich don't pay their fair share. Actually, he's right. They pay more than their fair share. Not all the rich, not Hunter Biden. He doesn't have to pay his fair share, but most rich people pay their taxes and they pay much more than their fair share. But why let that slow you down? If you're Joe Biden, it's all about class warfare. And this is one of those days he'll say, get your taxes done. Get your taxes done, everybody. Zelensky needs another yacht. the deadbeats with graduate degrees, they need you to pay off their loans. So get them done, get them in. It's important. What a day. What a day. This Monday, there's so much going on. I don't even know where to begin. I guess we should start with the big news of the day. The first criminal trial in U.S. history involving a president or a former president. And you really have to read up on this to understand what a joke, what an absolute travesty this is. Just in a nutshell, they're charging Donald Trump with paying hush money to former porn star Stormy Daniels, and they are categorizing it as election interference. Yes, election interference. They're bogging down the leading candidate in the 2024 election. They're keeping him tied down in New York in court for the next few weeks. He's there now. He just showed up. There are a million cameras, reporters everywhere. They're going to tie him down. Well, Biden's surrogates, probably not Biden because, you know, he had a big weekend of sitting in the White House on conference calls with other leaders trying to figure a way to help Iran. That's Joe Biden's top priority, help Iran in their fight against Israel. He can campaign. He can send his surrogates out on the campaign trail. Donald Trump cannot. He has to be in court today, required to be there to face the most ridiculous case, the most ridiculous criminal charge you could ever imagine. This is how you know somebody is completely in the tank for Joe Biden. God knows there's many tells, and we've gone over them almost daily. But if there is a news reporter or a news analyst or a talking head who takes this seriously and pretends this is legitimate, you know they have no integrity, no professional dignity. They are nothing but shills, nothing but handmaidens for the Biden campaign. Because you can't look at this honestly. You can't look at this objectively and think it's anything but an attempt to get Trump. We'll go over some of it. It's just, I mean, it's hard to find a place to begin with this case and not look at it as just a way to stop Trump. Hell, that is what prosecutor DA Alvin Bragg campaigned on. Just like Letitia James, when he campaigned, he promised to get Trump. And that's what he's doing beginning today. He's going to get Trump. They're going through jury selection today. It's hilarious, by the way. The jury questionnaire asks New York jurors, potential jurors, if they're a member of the Boogaloo Boys. Do you think there's one member of the Boogaloo Boys in New York, in Manhattan? They also ask them if they're Proud Boys, and they ask them if they've ever been to a Trump rally, if they support Trump. And if they do, boom, they're out of there. I don't think they have to worry about that. I really don't think there's going to be any big MAGA people in the jury pool. But if there is, they're gone. You can be sure of that. It will be a stacked jury of Trump haters. They will either get a conviction or a hung jury. If one person is honest and fair, they will get a hung jury. Just a quick review. Trump, through Michael Cohen, the star witness for the prosecution, paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 to go away. That is not illegal. Getting someone to sign an NDA and take the money is not illegal. If it's a campaign contribution, it's a misdemeanor. That's in the New York statute. But they're claiming he paid it and he classified it as a campaign contribution. Therefore, it's election interference. If it were a misdemeanor, the statute of limitation would have already expired, so he couldn't bring the case. So we had to elevate it to a felony. Keep in mind, this is a DA who has knocked down half of the felonies in Manhattan to misdemeanors. If you go out on the street and you punch an old lady or throw someone in front of the subway, he will lower it to a misdemeanor. But if you pay a porn star to go away, he'll elevate that to a felony to get you, to try to put you in prison. He is trying to put a former president in prison for paying someone to go away. And it's going to be wild to see how this case unfolds. It's going to be wild to see Michael Cohen on the stand, a serial perjurer, a convicted liar who's going to go on the stand and be the star witness for Alan Bragg. Now, we know Bragg is a joke. We know he doesn't prosecute violent crime in New York. We know he's going hard after Daniel Penny, not, you know, Guy Rivera, the scumbag who shot Jonathan Diller. Not him. He was on the street. But Daniel Penny, who saved a subway car full of women and children and black people and brown people, he is facing manslaughter. But that's Alvin Bragg for you. The judge, Mershon, he gave a campaign contribution to Joe Biden. Yes, the judge is a campaign contributor to Donald Trump's opponent in the presidential election. I don't understand how that doesn't force a recusal. How can you have a judge who contributed? I mean, obviously, he supports Biden. He's a New York judge. They all do. But you really have to be committed to give money to one candidate over the other when you are a sitting judge. We know the judge's daughter is a major Democrat activist who raises money on this case, raises money for Democrats on this case. She's the one with the Twitter profile with Trump behind bars. That's the judge's daughter, adult daughter. On top of all that, Trump is under a gag order. They can say what they want about Trump. He can't defend himself. This is, and I know we say this all the time, I know we hear this all the time, this is Banana Republic stuff times 10. I mean, this is just outrageous. And MSNBC and CNN and ABC and CBS and the New York Times are going to treat it like it's legit, like it's real. For weeks, as the campaign moves into high gear, one candidate will be forced to sit in court in New York and face this absolute joke of a trial. It's unfolding as we speak, and it's embarrassing, and it's un-American, and it's just plain wrong. There's a few legal analysts who are honest and objective, like Jonathan Turley, Andrew McCarthy. These are guys who are generally pretty sober, pretty serious. They cannot believe what we're watching unfold in New York. I can't believe it. I mean, you hear it initially and you say, oh, another Trump trial. And I still maintain you don't get a case more ridiculous than E. Jean Carroll claiming Trump raped her 30 years ago in a dressing room, which was by any measure just comical. And of course, she got the award that was another case where the statute of limitation had expired, but it doesn't matter. They changed the law. Kaviyoko literally signed the law, extending it, making it possible for E. Jean Carroll to sue. Now, we've gone over her lack of credibility, the absolute absurdity of her saying she didn't remember what year it was in. She was caught lying. She was on the cover of New York Magazine in a dress, which she said she wore the day Trump raped her. The dress wasn't even made then. We know she had an obsession with race, with rape. She accused many men, 7 or 8 men of rape, including her babysitter's boyfriend and Les Moonves and anybody. Anyone she gets close to, she accused them of rape. And she was obsessed with writing and talking about rape. She got the whole scenario from an episode of Law and Order. That case was a joke. This is an even bigger joke. But this is the country we live in now. Joe Biden's put one of his guys, one of his people, in the DA's office to help with this, to assist with the case, to prosecute his opponent. And if he can't put him in jail, he will certainly tie him up in court for weeks, if not months, as the campaign heats up. Any honest American, I don't care. I don't care if you hate Trump. I don't care if you love Joe Biden. You can't look at this and say it is legitimate. It is honest. There she is. The cover of New York Magazine, a crazy woman by any standard, just a whack job, who said, by the way, you know, when she was so traumatized by this case, she was going to take the money and go on a shopping spree with Rachel Maddow. That's the woman. That case is just ridiculous. This is just as absurd. I can't believe we're going through with this. I can't believe we're going to take this seriously. But this is where we are in the United States. One candidate trying to put his opponent in prison. By the way, the same candidate who's trying to jail his opponent never shuts up about saving democracy, about Donald Trump being the biggest threat to democracy in America today. I'm telling you, we have lost our way as a nation if this thing goes forward. And we can only hope there's at least one juror who's going to be fair here and hang this jury. He's not going to get an acquittal. That's impossible. They know it. There's no New York jury. I mean, Trump, what did Trump get? Like 5% of the vote in Manhattan? They're not going to have a Trump supporter on the jury, but maybe they will have an honest juror who says, this is absurd what we're sitting through, what we're watching. It's, I recommend Jonathan Turley in the New York Post today, Andy McCarthy in National Review this weekend. They will explain it, how utterly absurd the whole thing is. Even if you think that he mischaracterized the money he paid Stormy Daniels, it's a misdemeanor. It's a campaign violation. It's a fine. You know, Barack Obama paid a fine. John Edwards was prosecuted for the same thing. He didn't go to jail, and his mistress had a baby. You know, Stormy Daniels, she didn't have a baby. Even Michael Avenatti is defending Trump from prison. He's calling in to his friends on CNN, Jake Tapper, and saying, this is absurd. This whole case is absurd. But it doesn't matter. You have a corrupt media who's playing along with this, who has all their people outside the courthouse, who are treating this like it's legit. Just ridiculous. That's going on right now. And there's a lot more going on right now as we sit here waiting for Israel's response to Saturday's attack from Iran. We got to get to this, man. I'm not really worried about Iran at this point. I mean, Israel's going to respond. We'll see how that goes. But I would say their success here, Iran's success, was underwhelming. I'll just tell you this. There was more carnage in Chicago this weekend than there was in Israel. We'll tell you about the victims of this assault. 350 drones and missiles, 99% were intercepted. We believe there was one victim, a 7-year-old Arab-Israeli girl won. A lot more than that in Chicago. We'll tell you what happened in Chicago because I don't think anybody else will. I mean, unless you're in Chicago, you hear nothing about this, this absolute mayhem, this out of control violence in our second largest or third largest city. Just insane. And we'll get to, man, I got so much here. Oh, did you hear the news? King Charles was canceled on CNN. Who could have seen that coming? King Charles was canceled. We have perhaps the most outrageous example yet of a boy beating up on the girls in sports. I need somebody. We have to find someone to defend this Ironhead because it is just indefensible. We've got to the point where nobody can look at this and say, yeah, it's legit. He's just, he's a girl. He's a girl. We'll show you the video. It's just hilarious. And of course, we'll get to the Masters, which I couldn't stop watching, but let's be honest, Scottie Scheffler ruined it. He's too good. He's too damn good. And he's a good champion. He seems like a terrific guy, but we almost had a really good Masters, but he ruined it again. We'll get to that and all of this. Man, we got so much to get to, but first.
Excuse me.
We all know the stock market has seen unprecedented fluctuation over the past 3 years, and I'm just going to guess that's going to continue for at least another year. Well, silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to preserve wealth and hedge against economic instability. The silver to gold ratio is at record levels. Gold is currently at an all-time high, whereas silver is below 50% of its all-time high. A ratio like this is unheard of and provides a great time to add silver to your collection. Well, CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in numismatics. Explore CSN Mint's extensive catalog of bullion bars, coins, and numismatic collectibles. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a passionate collector, you'll find a diverse range of products to suit your needs and preferences. Rest assured that every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your collection with confidence. If you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. So go to csnmint.com/Jerry and use promo code Jerry at checkout to get a free silver American Eagle over a $30 value with your purchase of $75 or more. All right, we were all bracing on Saturday for war. Ooh, here we go. We're going to world war because Iran said they were going to attack. Joe Biden said they would attack. Everybody knew they would attack, and they attacked, and they fired more than 300 missiles and drones from Iran at Israel in retaliation for Israel taking out one of their generals, a terrorist. They took out their headquarters in Syria, in Lebanon, which is, an act of, they targeted a military guy, a terrorist, took him out. So Iran has to respond. They respond dramatically, but it didn't really do a lot of damage. Thanks to the Iron Dome, thanks to the missile defense system, which we helped with and assisted with and shot down almost all of their drones. You want to hear an amazing number? Some of these drones fired from Iran take 8 hours to reach Iran, to reach Israel. 8 hours. I thought you could, I don't really understand the geography. I thought you could drive from Iran to, I thought you could ride a bike from Iran to Israel in 8 hours. But apparently these are slow motion drones. So Israel knew it was coming. They were prepared. They took them out, almost all of them. The only victim was a 7-year-old Arab Israeli girl hit by shrapnel. That was it. Iran declared this a great success because, Allah be with them. And they managed to, I don't know how they interpret this to be success, but they did. So good for them. Joe Biden was probably disappointed because Joe Biden, Here's what you need to understand about Joe Biden and the Biden administration. Their hearts lie with Israel. Their instinct is to always support the Muslims against the Jews. That's a holdover from the Obama administration, which armed Iran, which gave Iran money, pallets of cash. They just have, every time they look at these conflicts, they somehow support the bad guys. It's what they do. You have a bunch of people running, you know, the puppeteers in the Biden administration are Obama holdovers, Anthony Blinken, Jake Sullivan. And for some reason, they always sympathize with Iran. It's what they do, and it's what they continue to do to this day. Now, we were told on Saturday that Biden would address the nation in this very dangerous time. He was, of course, on vacation in Delaware. He's always on vacation. He shuffled back into the White House. They showed him in his war room with all his, you know, all the radical Obama holdovers around the table. He never addressed the nation. Didn't happen because, of course, he couldn't. He's just incapable. They had this meeting of the G7 leaders, and you had six leaders all on camera. You know, you had France and England and Italy. And then you have Joe Biden surrounded by people and him with the computer, with the laptop in front of him, just kind of staring blankly at it. It was not what you'd call very reassuring. And I guess we haven't given credit for a very clear, concise foreign policy. If you want to hear where the Biden administration stands in this very perilous time, he has one word.
That's don't.
One word. This is the policy of the Biden administration.
Don't.
Go ahead, Iron. Let's play it.
You want the video?
Yeah, this is Scott Pelley asking. It doesn't even matter what he's asking. He's asking about whatever, China, Iran, North Korea, you know, whatever, the cartels. Just ask him, what's your response to these threats? Go ahead, Joe.
And I wonder, Mr. President, what you would say to him if he is considering using chemical or tactical nuclear weapons.
Don't.
And I wonder, what is your message to Hezbollah and its backer, Iran?
Don't.
Don't. Okay, that's not a foreign policy. That's a word.
Don't.
Well, they did. I mean, it's bad enough that that's all he has to say. But they defied him. They don't. I mean, no one looks at him with any respect.
Don't.
He's not feared. He's not respected. I mean, we are a joke on the international stage. Don't. Here's what I don't get. He obviously didn't come up with this on his own. He comes up with nothing. He's incapable. So they had a meeting at some point with, you know, maybe Obama's in on the meeting and Susan Rice and Blinken and Sullivan and Kamala Harris. And this is what they come up with. Don't. That's not a foreign policy. That's what you say to your child when he wants to have a cookie before dinner. That's what you say to your dog when he tries to get up on the kitchen table. Don't. That's not just an off-the-cuff response. That's policy. That was devised in a war room, in a meeting room among advisors. Here's what you do, Joe. Even he could remember this, I guess. You don't need a teleprompter. You don't have to look at your note cards. Just say don't. Can we hear from the president again, the commander in chief, the leader of the free world?
Don't.
Don't. Don't forget Trump. Can you imagine, you know, whatever, JFK, Ronald Reagan? Don't. God, it's just every day with this man in office is just a bigger embarrassment than yesterday. Don't.
This was this one. This video here was him talking about Iran.
God. What is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
Are American personnel assets at risk, Mr. President? Mr. President,
he says don't and walks away. That's him actually taking a question from one of his supporters in the media. What's your message to Iran? Don't. So the country that he has made rich, Trump says it over and over again, and he's right. They were broke under Trump. They were sanctioned. They couldn't sell their oil to China. They are flush with cash, allowing them to finance Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis and every other terrorist organization in the Middle East. And his response is, don't. Are you proud of this, Biden voters? Are you proud of this, Democrats in Congress, that this is your leader, this is the president, and this is what he says and does? This is his policy? Don't.
See, that would be cool if he did something.
That's true. But he doesn't. He's incapable. It's uncomfortable watching this. It's uncomfortable knowing that we're on the brink of a larger war. Maybe not a world war, but a larger war. And on top of this, he wants Israel to stand down after getting hit with 350 missiles, 99% of which were shot down. But I would call that an act of war. Israel's going to respond, and Biden will once again side with Israel's enemies. Israel will go into Rafah to try to finish the job and take out Hamas. And once again, Joe Biden will side with Israel's enemies. Get ready for it. It's campaign season, and he has to win Michigan. So he will abandon our ally in the Middle East in an effort to win Michigan. That's where we are. And on top of that, again, they somehow have this animus towards Israel and this sympathy towards Israel's enemies in all these conflicts. And it's going to come, and it's going to keep happening from now until November 5th. And if he wins Michigan, I guess he'll think it was a success. Let's just sacrifice Israel, throw him to the wolves. We need Michigan. We need to placate the Hamas caucus in Congress. We need to placate the people who chant death to America, which we will get to. A most amazing video out of Chicago this weekend of Biden supporters practicing, learning how to say death to America. That's where we are at this point. By the way, has anybody listened to him when he says don't? I mean, the southern border, the drug cartels, the gang members, the terrorists coming across the border, Iran, their proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas. Does anyone listen and say, oh, the American president said don't? He said it over and over again. I mean, I understand the logic that he can't handle anything else. If they laid out 5 bullet points, here's what you have to explain to people. Here's why we have to stop Iran from attacking and, you know, stop Hamas and Hezbollah from firing rockets. Here's the 5 talking points. He couldn't do it. They gave him this simple one-word response, this one-word foreign policy, because it's all he can handle at this point. That's how embarrassing it is. I mean, we're looking at the rockets, the missiles, the drones now, and it was pretty dramatic. It was good video, but it did nothing. Israel is protected thanks to American technology and American aid and American expertise. That's something we should be proud of. That's a good thing. At least it is if you're not a Hamas supporter in the Democrat Party. If you're John Fetterman, the only honest Democrat in D.C., and you want to protect Israel, you want to stand with Israel. But if you're in the Biden regime, you're kind of disappointed. Ah, damn. They didn't cause any damage, and now Israel's going to respond. And what do we do? Do we stand with Israel and lose Dearborn, Michigan? Tough call. And even tougher when the man leading the effort is in the throes of dementia and utterly incapable of articulating a sensible foreign policy. Just and really embarrassed. Let's do the Chicago, the I don't know what you call this, a seminar? Would you call this a teaching moment in Chicago over the weekend? Yeah. This is something that obviously Biden and the Democrats don't want you to see, but you must see it. Let me get the story up because it is hard to believe that this is real. I mean, literally, it's hard to believe that that these are actual actual people in Chicago this weekend learning how to chant death to America. Once again, we went over this last week. It's the only country on earth, the only country in the history of this planet that would allow people like this in their midst, practicing, learning how to hate the country that gives them everything they got. I'm sure some of these people are immigrants, illegal immigrants, legal immigrants coming here, you know, to chase the American dream, to just feed their families. And here they are in a seminar learning how to say death to America and death to Israel in Farsi. This guy's going to teach them. Now they're all wearing N95 masks, which is a tell. It's an indication that these are mentally ill, insane, obsessed, crazy, America-hating lunatics. But they're getting ready, not just to hit the street today, but they're getting ready for the convention this summer, the Democrat convention in Chicago, which is going to be wild. It's going to be glorious. I'm looking forward to it. But let's watch this guy try to educate his followers on how to hate this country. Go ahead.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian or whatever, all right? Now, I don't drink margaritas, but we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, Marg bar.
Marg bar.
Marg bar Israel.
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 Thank you.
What does that mean?
That is death to America, death to Israel in Persian.
Depending on
the
The weird thing is right after this part here, one of the guys is like, what about, because this guy wasn't even going to do it, but someone who's there is like, what about death to America?
Yeah, we hate America too. I mean, at the same time, the FBI is knocking on people's doors. We've seen the video, asking about their Facebook friends, asking about their social media posts. We'd like to talk to you about people you associate with online there. The FBI, as we know, has infiltrated Catholic churches. They've investigated pro-lifers. They've investigated Trump's lawyers. But a group of people learning how to chant death to America. Hey, maybe some of these people walked across the border. Maybe they're on the terror watch list. We wouldn't know. FBI doesn't care. Death to America. Nah, get in a Facebook chat with some Proud Boys, they'll be knocking at your door, but you learn how to say death to America in Farsi, no big deal. This was this is from the Daily Caller. A group of left-wing anti-war activists was seen guided in a chant in Farsi at the Teamsters Union Chicago headquarters Saturday, stating death to America and Israel. This was at the Teamsters headquarters. These are diehard Biden supporters, every one of them. And they're learning how to chant. The guy leading the meeting, his name is Shabir Rizvi. Shabir Rizvi. Rizvi stood in the middle of a circle of people wearing black masks. wearing masks, I guess, maybe to hide their identities. And teaching them how to say, Marg bar Israel. Marg bar Israel. Well, I'm going to say Marg bar Rivzi. Death to this guy. Unbelievable. And that's not the only concerning thing to happen in Chicago. We'll tell you what went on in Chicago this week because no one else will. Not a big deal. You know, a mass shooting in Chicago Not a word. And I've been watching. I've been looking for it. Not a word from your mainstream media. They're all busy in New York because, you know, Trump paid Stormy $130,000, whatever it was, 8, 10, 9 years ago. Not a word about the carnage in Chicago. And the latest, this is only, by the way, this is only 4 days. No, I'm sorry, this was 2 days after a non-binary ESPN reporter went on CNN with Jake Tapper and said there's no evidence that men have an advantage over women in sports. We got the evidence. We'll show you. But first.
Excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com. Use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores. But you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry. We've gone over this 100 times and we'll continue to go over it because it is one of the great outrages, one of the great scandals in our culture. As we all know, men... not a lot of men, but some men are playing women's sports. Some boys are playing girls' sports. We've told you about the 6-foot-tall bearded girl in Lynn, Massachusetts, who is dominating girls' sports, including basketball, to the point where teams are forfeiting because he's hurting so many of the girls. That's another thing. Doesn't get a lot of coverage in the media because doesn't help their cause. This is, and God knows, we talk about all the cultural issues. To me, this is the most outrageous because there's only two sides. There's right and wrong. There's good and evil. There's protecting girls and throwing them to the wolves. The people who support this, they're not wrong. They're evil. If you think this is good and just and right, if you think this is a girl who belongs in girls' sports, you are on the wrong side of history. History will look back at this when it is banned, when it is outlawed, which is going to be pretty soon. And you will be looked at as a truly evil person. This is evil, what we're looking at. God knows, allowing doctors to mutilate young boys and girls because they're confused about their gender. We know that's evil. We know that's wrong. And that's changing all over the world. But this is just madness. And as you watch, think about the parents. Think about the people. Think about the girls. And I know a lot of people call for the girls to refuse to participate. And that would be good. And in some cases, it's happened. Not enough. But we're talking about 15, 16-year-old girls. I think it's putting a lot of burden on them. I mean, they don't want it. They do what their coach wants, what their parents want. I mean, you're a 15-year-old girl. You don't feel like, you know, it's your time and your place to be Rosa Parks. You know, you should refuse to participate. You should refuse to stand on the medal stand beneath a boy because you know it's wrong. But that's asking a lot. This is up to the parents, the coaches, the administrators, and we know that they're too scared. They're like Don Staley, South Carolina. They're cowards. Every single parent should have stood up, walked out in the track and said, no more. Enough of this. This is a farce. This is a, I want to get his name. By the way, this kid, he's not even trying. He's one of those who didn't even change his name. His name is Aiden. He doesn't really attempt to look like a girl. He's not trying too hard. Let me get it. His name is Aiden Gallagher. He's a 10th grader at McDaniel High School. He's competing in the 200-meter race at the Sherwood Need for Speed Classic in Sherwood, Oregon. Now, normally, Oregon, we'd just, they're, that's nuts. It's crazier than Massachusetts. And we're just chalking up to left-wing insanity. But this video went viral, and it is one of the best examples of the madness which we're living through. And I thought it was appropriate because, as they said, 3 days ago, Katie Barnes, a non-binary ESPN reporter, said, there's no evidence that men are better than women in all sports, and some maybe, but, swimming and track might be different than basketball and volleyball, which is absurd. And of course, Jake Tapper, another coward, didn't call her out. But let's watch the brave, the courageous Jaden Gallagher just dominate these girls. Keep this in mind. This is 200 meters. This is half a track. That's it. And watch, how competitive this race was. Go ahead.
Wilhelmina, Jaden Vanderveen, in seven for Bergen Episcopal, Abby Wilson.
Run this up. Not I want to hear the pool.
Well, Gallagher, McDaniel, lane two. You're going to see Gallagher later on in the relays. Great knees, great drive. Gallagher, the victory here in section number one. 25,
on the left. She won. She deserves the blue ribbon of the trophy, the medal. She's not going to get it because this punk, this absolute, stop it right there. Look at the times. Two things. He wins the 200 meter by 5 seconds, more than 5 seconds. That's 200 meters, 5 seconds. And then he walks. He's not even trying. That's a boy. He's big. He's strong. Oh, look at the knee drive, says the play-by-play guy. Yeah, the knee drive for a boy going against the girls. As you can hear, if you're just listening, there were no cheers. None, which I guess is a good sign. Then he finishes and walks around the infield, and nobody congratulates him. This, watch this girl. Go ahead, play. This girl walks right by him and like gives him the
second
Wilson
in 377.
Nobody congratulates him. And you get the times right there on the screen. Just dominates the girls. Now, he later lost in like the final heat to a girl, which is good, but he finished second. And he's in 10th grade. He's 15. He's got two more years of this to grow and work out and build strength. He's going to continue to dominate the girls and parents. Adults, coaches are going to continue to sit there in the stands and watch this. Now, I always ask, where's his father? Maybe he's not even around. Maybe the father's out of the picture. That is often the case with these trans bullies. But where's his mother? Where's his coach? Where's his friends? Where's somebody to say this is just wrong? And we can't go back and fix this. It's like with Leah Thomas. Everybody knows Leah Thomas is a bully and a punk. But Leah Thomas won the, 200 meter, 100 meter. He won the trophy. He set a record. He was the 467th ranked boy, man, when he was with the men's team and said, you know what, I'd really like to win. So he grew his hair out and put on some fingernail polish and kicked ass. And ESPN glorified him. They wouldn't dare speak out against this outrage. Penn, University of Penn, named him Woman of the Year, Leah Thomas. So maybe Aiden Gallagher here, maybe this punk will get a ESPY next year at the ESPYs if he keeps on beating up on the girls. But you will not see a better example of the physical advantage that boys have over girls and the idea that we're going to continue to allow them to dominate. This is just ridiculous, just comical. All right, let's get to Chicago because you didn't hear about this. I'm here to give you the latest. Let me find the... you heard a lot about Israel, right? 350 rockets. We saw the video, every news station, wall-to-wall coverage, special reports, just blowing out their weekend programming to tell you about this attack. Well, while that was going on, and let's be thankful, there was not a lot of death. There was not a lot of carnage, not a lot of damage. Israel stopped it intercepted it with our help, and that's a great thing. At the same time, there was genuine carnage, genuine death and violence in Chicago. This is from ABC 7 in Chicago. A child is dead and 10 other people are injured after a mass shooting at a family gathering in the South Side on Saturday night. Now, mass shootings generally get covered. You know, if there's a mass shooting, you know, in whatever, in Nashville or in Parkland, it's a big deal. Big news. There is reporters on the scene. It is leading the news. There's debates and discussion about mental health, about school safety, and of course about guns. You want to hear the interesting thing about this one? The victim, how old was she? Seven-year-old's father. Didn't anybody said the shooters had assault weapons? So assault weapons were used. Now the people like KJP who immediately make it about guns had nothing to say about this. The shooting happened at 9:18. Officers responded to a shot spotter alert. Keep in mind, the mayor, Brandon Johnson, he is banning the shot spotter system. I think it takes effect in August because he said it was racist. Keep that in mind. Officers responded to a shot spotter alert for 18 gunshot rounds at the location. They found multiple people shot and performed life-saving measures on the victims. The witness said a black sedan approached the area and someone unknown started shooting before fleeing. The victims, including 7 adults, 4 children, a girl was shot in the head, taken to the hospital, and later died. The father, Jose Molina, the girl was identified as 9-year-old Arena Molina. Quote, they had big assault rifles because it was too many shots. They shot my daughter in the head, my wife in the back, me in the leg, my 2 nephews, and a couple more family members. The adult victims included men aged 36, 38, women aged 19, 26, 30, 36, and 40. The boys injured were 1, 8, and 9. So they murdered a 9-year-old girl, shot a 1-year-old boy, an 8-year-old boy, a 9-year-old boy. I haven't heard a word from AOC, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris. Not a word. Black Lives Matter, any statements? Check that. See if Black Lives Matter issued a statement on this violence, this carnage. Here's what they do. Here's what Ayanna Pressley does when she sees this story. I'm going to get the totals from Chicago over the weekend, too. Here's what she does. If you're, let me get the weekend totals. Just another weekend in Chicago. This is from CBS. 8 people killed, 40 others wounded in shooters over the weekend. They mentioned victims between the ages of 8 and 59. 10 victims over the weekend were under 18. So if you're Ayanna Pressley, you look at this and you say, was the shooter a white guy? Even better, was the shooter a white cop? Did he use a AK-47 or an AR-15? No? Maybe he did. I don't know. But if it's not a white shooter or a white cop, they don't care. They don't care about black lives. They don't care about black kids. This doesn't mean a damn thing to them. I mean, if this was in Rafah, that a 1-year-old was shot, a 9-year-old was killed, you'd hear about it all day. You'd hear, they'd be making speeches on the floor of the House denouncing this. But it was in Chicago. So they do not give a damn. 40 people shot over the weekend in one American city. And it means nothing to them because they can't take advantage of it politically. These people are the biggest frauds. They don't care about black lives. They don't care about black kids. They don't care about guns or violence. They don't care about the decline and fall of our major cities. It means nothing to them. Absolutely nothing. Good disgrace. We got anything from Brandon Johnson? Did he have a reaction to this? What, let me guess.
No. None. There's nothing. Black Lives Matter Chicago chapter has been quiet since the 11th.
It's amazing. They have never, we've never seen someone from Black Lives Matter in inner city Chicago, on the south side of Chicago, never, where all the black lives are ending, where black kids are being shot every weekend. They don't care. Absolutely means nothing to them.
Justin, last night, 11 people were shot in Chicago neighborhood, including four children, one as young as one. An SUV pulled up and opened fire into a crowd before fleeing. One 8-year-old has passed away, and others are in critical condition.
They shoot a 1-year-old, and you hear nothing. Not even from their own elected representatives in Illinois and Chicago. None of them. I mean, if later today we found out the shooters were white and, you know, Boogaloo boys, it'd be 24/7. So the victims only matter if the shooters fit the political narrative. If they don't, to 1-year-old kid, 8-year-old girl, mean nothing to Ayanna Pressley and to Joy Reid and to The View and to Rachel Maddow and to the New York Times. The victims mean nothing to them unless they can use it politically. It's truly disgusting. Anyway, before we get to the Masters, I have to say R.I.P. King Charles. Not the King Charles. He's still hanging in there. But King Charles, the TV show. I told you the other day I watched this. It's on once a week, but they replay it. And it was so awful. It's so uncomfortable. Somebody at CNN, I believe it was their former boss, this Chris Licht guy,
white people,
thought this was a good idea. Put Gayle King with Charles Barkley and just let them, you know, shoot the breeze. Just let them wing it. And it was just uncomfortable. These people, these TV people are just such idiots. They really are. And the ratings, they had big ratings on day one, of course, and then it tanked. And they're reportedly canceling it, which is probably a big relief to Barkley. But Gayle King is a special kind of talent. Only Gayle King could make Charles Barkley boring.
Yeah.
And that's what she did. CNN could make Charles Barkley boring, and that's what they did. They had Maggie Haberman from the New York Times, Trump hater, and they just sat there and talked about all the phony Trump trials, and Barkley's uncomfortable. He doesn't even know what he's talking about most of the time. He knows basketball, and he loves golf. But he's, you know, when he starts in on politics, it's time to call AAA. It's just a wreck. And apparently, it failed. So now I'm waiting for CNN to announce a new show starring Anderson Cooper, you know, because they really need to get the ratings, but embarrassing. All right. CBS had the best sporting event of the year that doesn't involve Caitlin Carlin. Oh, I should mention, I watched Caitlin Clark on Saturday Night Live, and she was excellent, by the way, excellent. She was on Weekend Update with Michael Che, and she saved the segment. She was pretty good. And she made this gratuitous shout out to all the former players. You know, I want to give a shout out to Maya Moore and all these other players no one's ever heard of.
Did you notice who she left off?
Yes, she left off. Brittany Griner.
She left off all two people. She left off her and Diana Taurasi. No mention.
Oh, that's right. She left off Diana Taurasi. Special shout out to Dawn Staley, though. That was, I understand. She has to do that, but it was pretty good. It was pretty funny, but it's kind of a visual. You know, she was going back and forth with Michael Che. The show was absolutely awful, but she kind of saved that segment. But CBS has the Masters, which is the best sporting event on TV because they limit the commercials. And High Def just took the Masters to another level because you could see every blade of grass and every azalea. And it's just a great TV event. And I was into it, as always. I love it. But Scheffler ruined it. Let's be honest. Scheffler ruined it. He's too good right now. He won his second Masters in 3 years. He was amazing. He had 4 birdies on the back nine. I'm sorry, the second nine. That always amazes me how the announcers don't screw up because they're not allowed to call it the back nine when it's the Masters. They're not allowed to call the fans. They have to call them patrons. And they never screw that up. They continue to say, oh, the patrons. Next week, they'll be at a tournament. They'll say fans. They'll say back nine. But this weekend, they stuck to the script and called it the second nine. And Scheffler was just amazing. And he's a great champion. He stood there. He made his speech afterwards and thanked everybody in his family, his sisters, his parents, and his coaches, and his agent. And he just thanked all the volunteers and the people who kept the locker room open for him late so he could take a cold tub. I mean, he's just a good, humble, God-fearing guy. Boring as hell, but a good, humble, God-fearing guy. And he's like, he reminds you of Tiger. Not, you know, the overall career yet. He's only 27. And he's won 9 times. He's won 2 Masters. And he's going to win many, many more because he's a machine. He has no flaws. He was better than everyone else at everything. And he was so clutch. And I told you, I did tell you, Ludvig Åberg is here to stay. 24-year-old Swede playing in his first major, finishes second. It was just amazing. He had one big gaffe on 11, put it in the water, and that was kind of the end of the tournament. Everybody had a big gaffe except Scottie Scheffler. He doesn't have those kind of those things just don't happen. But Åberg was fun to watch, smiling and just enjoying himself out there. But Scheffler's only 3 years older than Åberg, and Scheffler is just unstoppable right now. It was painful watching Tiger. It was an amazing accomplishment to see him make the cut. But he had a disastrous Saturday, shot an 82. He finished last on the weekend. He got beaten by, among others, Phil Mickelson and 61-year-old Vijay Singh. And then Tiger took to the podium yesterday and said it was a good week. It was a good week. I'm saying, wow. I'd hate to see what a bad week looks like, but he's done. Anybody who picked him is an idiot. His body is not holding up, and he's old. He's 48, and he looks every day of it. He's beaten up his body for many years, and he's incapable of competing anymore, which is too bad. It's fun to watch, but congratulations to number one. And anybody who's bragging about picking this one, I'm sorry. You picked the heavy favorite. You picked Scheffler, who was the heavy favorite, who was expected to win, and he won. And congratulations to it. But some of us, you know, picked Åberg. You know, I feel like we called it, even though we finished second. But anyway, who did you pick, Ironhead?
Well, I would have picked Scheffler, but you said I couldn't.
No, you're not allowed to pick the heavy favorite.
I picked Spieth. And a LIV guy, so I was wrong on every account.
We had one LIV guy in the hunt, DeChambeau, who is he's great when he's in the hunt because he's so weird and he's just so different. That was good to have him involved, but those LIV guys, they're not used to playing 72 holes, so he faded yesterday as well. It was disappointing, but anyway, it was the Masters, and it's always great. And we will leave it there. Get your taxes in. Get it done. Zelensky's, defense minister needs a new Rolls Royce. So get those taxes in. And there's a lot of doctors and lawyers out there who need student debt relief. So make sure before you head out to work to, you know, dig ditches, put a, you know, roofing or paving, make sure you get your taxes done because your lawyer needs student debt relief. It's important. So anyway, that will do it for today. Anything else, Ironhead?
Nothing right now. Still waiting to see if Black Lives Matter makes a statement.
Yeah, you check on it. You follow that. I'm just going to give you another prediction, and I'm on a roll. They will say nothing. Ayanna Pressley, AOC. AOC, who cried when the House passed the bill to fund the Iron Dome, she cried. She didn't want it. She wanted, you know, a fair fight. She wanted all those rockets and missiles and drones to hit civilians in Israel. That's what she wanted because she did not want Israel to have the ability to protect itself. That's who's representing us in Congress.
There was one more thing I forgot. Everyone go to CallahanCoffee.com.
Oh, yeah, go to Callahan Coffee.
Buy a pound.
CallahanCoffee.com. It's better than all those other designer coffees out there, we promise. Check it out. But that'll do it for today. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.